Hi, everyone, and welcome to our podcast from Pathogen to Infectious Disease Diagnosis, where we bring the connection between the lab and the clinic together to discuss how the latest generation of testing can help identify pathogens to get a diagnosis and harnessing potential partnerships between laboratory professionals and infectious disease providers. Today, we have Dr. Declan Kelly. He is a former NHS emergency medicine doctor and software engineer who founded Olas Medical, a company developing AI-powered tools for instant access to clinical knowledge. Good day, sir. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Rode. Yes, doing very well. Thank you very much for
You
having me
bet.
on the podcast. Great to be here.
Absolutely. So Olas Medical has positioned itself as a point of care clinical knowledge platform. What gap in antimicrobial stewardship were you seeing that led to its creation?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I suppose it really all comes down to a problem that myself and my colleagues were finding working in the hospital, specifically in the emergency department, but in every department we were finding this was a problem. Not just antimicrobial knowledge, but a wide breadth of knowledge is required when
Right.
you're treating patients. But antimicrobial is one of the very specific ones that is, I suppose, very locally specific as well as national guidelines. So, I worked in the emergency department as an emergency physician. I would see patients with all different types of infections, and then I would have to prescribe different antimicrobial agents. And that changed depending on what hospital you work in because of local resistance patterns, because of
Right.
formulary restrictions, etc. So a lot of the guidelines would have been localized, and there were really well-written guidelines by our colleagues in ID and antimicrobial teams. And the problem with was they were very difficult to access. They were on an intranet system, they were on some outdated website. It was very hard to access when you were making decisions at the point of care. So we initially developed the platform to solve our own problem in the hospital. Within about 6 months, it was used in about 28 hospitals around the world, including Stanford and a number of others. And over the last 4 years, it scaled to about 600 sites across the world. So it really
Wow.
It seems to be a fairly ubiquitous problem, and the aim is really to try to get access to that knowledge that you need when you need it, when you're treating the patients.
Absolutely. I know when I was practicing a little bit, one of the issues we had in that area was, in any place, any local place, you'll have that kind of standard operating procedure drift where people are kind of, drifting away from like typical protocol. So I imagine that's really nice to have at your fingerprints. Can you provide an overview of the platform and kind of how it works? I know the platform emphasizes institution-specific protocols rather than pulling from the open internet. That's probably pretty important. Why is that distinction in your mind so important for clinical decision-making, for patient safety?
Yeah, so it's a great question, and that is key to be able to do localized knowledge. So as a healthcare professional, how we split it up, generally you need access to knowledge from two sources. One is hyperlocal information, and the second is external medical knowledge, so national level guidelines, latest journal articles, etc. And both are equally as important. So we manage both, so we help streamline access to external knowledge. But where we really shine is the internal and local knowledge, and that's where 600 teams are using it. So how the platform actually works is an antimicrobial team would use the platform. They would upload all of their content, so whatever format, it might be linking out to their own site, it might be uploading PDFs, whatever format it's in. The AI on the platform then chunks all of that information and then indexes it so that it can get an understanding of the structure of it. And then the physician or the pharmacist or the nurse on the other side then just asks the question and gets an answer. So they would say, "Hey, I have a patient who's got a penicillin allergy. This is the bugs that they have an infection with. What antibiotic should I give in our hospital?" And then it pulls only specifically from your hospital guidelines. So you can
Oh,
change all the
okay.
settings, pulls from your hospital guidelines and says, "Hey, this is the best agent to use. And here is exactly where it's getting that answer from," which is really the most important thing. So it always, 100% of the time, it goes back to the reference of where it's actually come from.
Right, which we know is really important so that AI is not grasping any external sources that may not be great. So that
Exactly, yeah.
platform, I believe, is it's called Ask Olas, correct?
Correct,
And
yes, yeah.
it's designed to deliver kind of instant source attributed answers. How does that change kind of the day-to-day workflow for clinicians compared to like a traditional intranet or guideline system?
Yeah, so it's, yeah, again, a great question, because we have to then dive into What exactly is the knowledge-seeking behavior of a physician at the point of care? And that changes what setting you're working in. So it changes in the emergency department versus acute medicine versus a clinic. So generally, physicians, they will look for information. So they're treating the patient, they need to make a decision quickly. So they want to get that access to that knowledge very quickly so they can make that decision. So what they'll do is that they'll take the phone out and just ask a question and get an answer quickly, or they'll go straight to a desktop. Traditionally, what they maybe did before that was have to log in, sign in with their single sign-on, go through the intranet or go through a guideline site, and then try to navigate through to find that answer. So we have a significant amount of evidence to show that this is about 10 times faster than that. Because of that, it increases the utilization of these guidelines. So there's been a few studies showing that it 5x's the use of the internal antimicrobial guidelines as well. It really helps them get the guidelines quicker, but it also shows that they use the guidelines more, which decreases broad spectrum antibiotic use, which has also got evidence of that as well. That's really how this works. It also embeds in the point of care, so we can sync it up with the electronic record so that it's always got a single source so that in there when they're prescribing, they can see it, or if they're away from a terminal, they can just ask a question and get an answer.
Fantastic. That sounds fantastic. So the platform includes analytics, I understand, on clinician behavior and practices, kind of protocol usage. How are stewardship teams kind of using that data to improve prescribing practices in real time?
Yeah, so this is where it gets really interesting, and this is what we love seeing as healthcare professionals as well. The questions that are being asked and the knowledge-seeking behaviors that are exhibited at the point of care. So, because search is changing just globally, used to you went to Google, you'd ask, one word, and then you'd get 10 blue links. Now people are searching AI platforms with full sentences, so they're getting. What you're getting is intent-based activity. So instead of someone searching for COPD or UTI, they're searching for how do I manage UTI that's uncomplicated in a 34-year-old pregnant lady. So you're getting this big long sentence which shows their intent. So all of that information gets fed back to the admins of the platform, all of the pharmacists and ID specialists, and they can see exactly what's been searched for. And that's extremely useful for a number of different reasons. One big reason is you can start to identify patterns over time. Everyone's searching for respiratory symptoms, or everyone's searching for this type of disease, and we don't have a policy for that. Maybe we should try to generate a policy. It shows a knowledge gap, et cetera, et cetera. So you can start to really hone and learn from that. You can also then prove from a governance point of view that then people are using the platform, using the analytics as well. So you can say, people are accessing it at this point of time, et cetera, et cetera. So it really gives you that insight, a window into the point of care more than anything.
Fantastic. Is it all right now primarily just physicians and pharmacists internal use? It's not public, is it?
No, so it's if you want to if the hospital wants to lock it down, they'll lock it down, and it's
Okay.
just for their internal healthcare professionals
Okay.
in that system. That's how it works, yeah.
Okay. I know a recent peer-reviewed study of this showed zero prescribing errors, which is crazy with ask OLOS in simulation settings, at least. What do those findings suggest about the broader role of AI in reducing AMR risk?
Yeah, so the team at Imperial College in London, the antimicrobial team, published a study in one of the Nature journals, Antimicrobial and Resistance. And what they were looking to evaluate was does AI have an impact on antimicrobial prescribing? And what they were comparing it to was just traditional website or guideline or PDF based articles. And what they found was that there was, as you said, 100% prescribing safety. So there were zero errors made when the AI was used. Whereas there was 47% of the time there was errors using the PDFs. Now sometimes these were outright dosing errors, and a lot of the time there were errors around duration of treatment, switching from IV to orals, which antibiotic to use to broad spectrum, etc. So it showed great evidence with regards to being able to reduce all of those things. And again, it's really about ease of access, and it's really about being able to ask the question that you actually want to ask. If you just search for COPD, you then have to scroll through guidelines or a website, and then you have to decide what that is. Whereas if you ask, I have in fact a patient with infective exacerbation of COPD, and this is the culture in their sputum, it gives you the answer. And because your guidelines are very rich with knowledge, it gives you the duration, the answer, when you should switch, etc. So there's just so much more information there that it's able to do. And that's why the early signs are amazing from those initial studies.
Interesting. Just a kind of a question, it's kind of circling my head. Do you think that one day that so if a physician pulls out their phone and they're doing whatever, do you see a potential future where the patient record, if that note's already there, that it would just go straight in, so there would be even a less of a time frame? Do you ever see that coming forward, or?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's something we've actually built. So we've built an API, which is a link between the EHR and the oldest
Okay.
knowledge base. So the aim with that is to just take the patient note, so all of their history, whether they're pen
Okay.
allergic or not, all of their culture results. It just queries your knowledge base, and in real time, it just says, "Hey, here's the answer."
Gotcha.
Because really, you want to move from someone thinking, "I need to look up the guidelines," to the guidelines just automatically
There.
show and does that. So that's very much the trajectory that this knowledge base is going in.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So I know there's, we know, right? There's a lot of hype for sure around AI and healthcare and everywhere in today's world. There's a lot of hype around that. How is OLAS demonstrating kind of practical, real-world value in antimicrobial stewardship today? And maybe what lessons can others learn from that approach? I can imagine this could be copycatted into other parts of the medical world. Have you seen anybody trying to come get your technology or talk about that in a different way?
Yeah, it's a space now that's becoming very, very crowded, especially with other specialties as well. And I think taking it all back, the most important thing is clinical safety and trust. You know, at
Right.
the end of the day, these are decisions that are being made for patients, you know, and we want to make sure that they are as safe as possible. I mean, the community and the industry needs to build trust there. So it's all about trying to get this technology regulated, trying to build up the evidence base to show that actually this is safe to be deployed in the health system. And that's what we're actively working on doing, and trying to get as many publications in around proving that. There's lots of other players now in the space, and not just in the antimicrobial space, but in every other specialty as well. And this AI answer engine space is now becoming a very, very popular, and for good reason. And AI will have a significant impact, but we have to move sensibly, and we have to move responsibly in this. And I think that's one of the most important things. But it's a very, very exciting space, and the opportunity here, I think, is huge for the impact it can have on decisions.
Yeah, it makes me, as we kind of wrap up here today, it makes me think about what you just said, so critically important about patient safety, right? I mean, we all want faster answers. We all want more accuracy. I mean, even the public wants that. This leads to cheaper healthcare. It leads to less patient stay. All those things are critically important. Do you have a, I'm curious, since you kind of talked about that, do you have a way, or do physicians have a way to validate what has happened so that you know for sure in real time or within a certain amount of time that, hey, this actually was the right antibiotic or the right multi-drug therapy the patient, cleared. Is there that type of wraparound system where there's kind of a validation?
Yeah, exactly. So we've built an observability layer, essentially. So and we've built a scoring system, which is the clinical answer engine safety score, or the case score.
Okay.
And ultimately, we have millions of questions that happen on the platform every single month. So what we do is a two-pronged approach. One is we get a subset of them actually reviewed by clinicians. And two is that every single one of them goes through an automated second judge system. So there's a second large language model as a judge that says, hey, here was the answer that was given. Here's the sources that supplied that answer. Review this answer as well and score it to see if this was accurate and safe. Then we get a subset of those, because you obviously can't get millions reviewed manually, but we get a subset of those then reviewed by physicians as well. And we can see every single question that was asked, and we score that and review that from an observability point of view. Because at the end of the day, AI is probabilistic. It's ultimately a statistical model. So
Right.
it can never be 100%. You know, the world's most powerful AI will always be 99.999%. It, by
Right.
definition, it can't be 100%. So you have to build systems around that to make sure that you capture it, and make sure that it's safe, and train people how to use it effectively. So always going back to the answers or the source material is one of the ways that you can make it 100% source attributed, if that makes sense.
Right.
So it gives you the answer, but then if you click the answer, it points to the exact line in the guideline and where it got that from, and then you can see and make sure that that was safe and accurate. So it is building in those systems is really, really important.
Fantastic.
Exactly, yeah.
Fantastic. Interesting topic. I really appreciate you joining us today. And I hope that others will kind of check out this technology and follow up with this topic. It's really an exciting area to think about how AMR could be reduced overall globally. And I think AI does have to play a part in that because there's just only so much time we can get ahead of that problem, right?
No,
So
exactly.
thank you, sir. Thank you, Dr. Kelly. And thank you to our audience for joining us today for this important topic. And until next time, we'll see you soon on Contagion Live.